the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another show where we do a wrap-up on Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities. Today is July the 11th, 2022. Not much to talk about, but I really want to dive into the Galaxy Digital and Voyager Digital saga and another company that's going to be loosely associated with one of those two. But before we go any further, just want to ask if you could please like and subscribe to the channel. Also, share the video. That would help us out tremendously. And with that being said, let's move on to the sponsors. And the first sponsor is ShakePay, of course, the best place to buy and, of course, never sell your Bitcoin. And open an account by using our referral code below. Fund your account with $100. Buy $100 worth of Bitcoin or the competing token, and you'll be rewarded with $30 that will be added to your ShakePay account. Also, if you use our referral code, every time you open a ShakePay app, and you shake your phone once per day, you could do this, you'll be able to get some free Bitcoin added to your account. So there's not too many of these faucets available, so you might as well take advantage with the ShakePay faucet. And, you know, first thing you do when you wake up, you open your phone, you shake it, the phone, only the phone, and you're good to go because you're going to get some free Bitcoin. Also, they have the ShakePay Visa card where you could buy your daily purchases, gas, groceries, whatever the heck it is you want to buy. The first $5,000, 2% of that will be rewarded back to you in Bitcoin. So whatever you buy, 2% of that will be rewarded back to you in Bitcoin up to the first $5,000 that you purchase. And then everything beyond that, 1% of your purchase will be comped back to you in Bitcoin. Also, you can get the whole thing comped in the Shake Paid promotion. So if you go out and buy $100 worth of something, $200 worth of something, whatever it may be, you're rolling the dice every time you do it because Shake Pay could potentially just give you the whole purchase back in Bitcoin. So not too shabby. And they also have the Shake Squad, team up with four people. Every time anybody uses the ShakePay Visa card, 42 sats will be rewarded to the whole team. So it makes sense to get involved with people that are actively using their ShakePay Visa card. So they got the Shake Squads that are taking effect. So lots of good features that are going on in ShakePay. Sign up with our referral code below and you're one step closer to being financially free with buying Bitcoin through them. And what are you going to do with the Bitcoin that you bought from ShakePay? Why not put it on the Ledin platform, earn some interest by doing so, and open up an account with using our referral code below. And if you leave 150,000 Satoshis or 75 USDC on their platform for 15 consecutive days, you'll be rewarded with 10 USDC. But not just that, if you need some money and you don't want to sell your Bitcoin stash, then you could simply borrow against it with Ledin. They'll be happy to but give you a loan, 50% loan to value against your Bitcoin. Also, if you think the price of Bitcoin is going up, which it should be, shouldn't it? You could use the B2X option that Ledin offers and you could double up your Bitcoin stack. And once the price reaches a high enough point, you pull out, don't be an Elon, pull out, you're good to go. And you're going to have some more Bitcoin and you'll be happy you've done so. Last thing they do have is the Bitcoin backed mortgages. Check out their website for all the terms and conditions related to the terms and where they're located for the Bitcoin-backed mortgages because it's not available in every jurisdiction. Also check their website for the savings and lending rates because these change on a month-to-month basis. All right, so with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing and let's take a look to see who are the big winners and losers today. A lot more losers than there are winners. CoinSmart leading the pack 25% up on no news. CryptoWorks, a very thinly traded stock, so be very careful with this one, 17.65% up on the day. And Luxfolio, 4% up. That is it for being up today. Down, just about everything else is down. It's just a lot of red, sea of red. So we have iMining down 22.22% down. Core Scientific, the biggest Bitcoin miner out there, 17% down. Cypher Metaverse and Aquarius AI both down 12.5%. Bitfarms, the one that I like a lot, 12.36% down. Riot, 10.8% down. Coinbase 10.63, and CryptoStar down 10%. Other than that, everything else is less than 10%, but still it's very, very red. Just terrible day all around in terms of what's going on in the markets and what's going on with the Bitcoin related stocks. So keep that in mind if you are an investor today and you're expecting a lot of green. Unfortunately, today was not the day. It's going to be some rough times, I suppose, for the next little while as the Fed continually tries to raise rates. It's the markets just don't seem to adapt well to that news. And it doesn't look like the Fed is going to be stopping anytime soon. So just be ready for some very difficult times ahead until the course ultimately gets corrected. All right, so leading things off is a story from Argo Blockchain. And this is loosely connected with Galaxy that I'm going to be talking about a little bit more later on. But in terms of what happened with this Argo story, it's I wish I talked about it last week. This came out last week, and my apologies for not mentioning it. I just totally missed it. So this is a really cool story nonetheless. They hired an in-house derivatives trader to manage risk as it continues to sell Bitcoin to fund operations and service its debt. This is not uncommon to sell Bitcoin in order to keep the lights on for any particular Bitcoin mining operation. So nothing is very unique about that. But the fact they hired an in-house derivatives trader, this is something that I find to be rather interesting. And I'm not exactly sure if this is going to be beneficial for them or if it's not. But I like the fact that they're thinking outside the box in terms of the fact that the price of Bitcoin has drawn down tremendously. But they also want to say that the story that also has some linkage to Galaxy Digital, there's a loan that's out there with Galaxy. And it's mentioned here that the loan is a $22 million balance outstanding with Galaxy Digital. And it says here, the firm also signed the $30 million loan collateralized by Bitcoin in December, according to its annual reports. Now, Galaxy, I'm not sure what's going to happen moving forward, because I understand Galaxy it's had some troubled times, especially with what happened with Luna. They navigated through those choppy waters relatively good, but still not a big fan of what's happening with over a Galaxy Digital. I'll be talking about that shortly, but still you can see the loose connection you see between Argo and Galaxy. That to me, it's somewhat concerning. I hope that what happens with Galaxy doesn't negatively impact with Argo. Fingers are crossed. I like Argo, what you're doing moving forward, but that's just what I wanted to report. So be very careful. There is a connection between Galaxy Digital and Argo, albeit it's relatively loose connection. There could be something that Argo could get rugged here. So keep in mind what's going on here. If you are an investor for Argo, you may want to really be wary about this particular aspect. It's not a big deal, but still it's enough money that it could cause for concern. So that's all I got to say about the Argo saga, and the Galaxy saga will just be moving on. All right, moving on, let's talk about Galaxy Digital, the Mike Novogratz-led company. And while they announced last week, on Thursday, keep this in mind, last week, their June 2022 month-end assets under management. All right, this is very par for the course. Nothing outstanding here, nothing out of the ordinary, but we'll find what is the real problem that I have. So the reported preliminary assets under management is slightly less than $1.7 billion. That's as of June 30th, 2022. Again, nothing out of the ordinary here. Here's where it gets a little bit wonky. They say here, for additional information regarding Galaxy Digital's assets management fund can be found on their website at, and here's the website. Click on it, 404 error. It's been like that since Thursday. Today is Monday afternoon. We cannot get any further information as to doing a detailed analysis of their assets under management. It's been days. I've tweeted about it numerous times. Not once there was a reply from them. Nor from my tweets did they rectify it. This problem still exists days later from a publicly traded company putting out a link that's 404'd. That is disgusting. Poorly led company. Mike Novogratz, I hope you took the cheese grater to that Luna tattoo and you scraped that bugger off. Who the heck puts a tattoo on their body of a crap coin. That goes to show you the mentality, what's going on with the people leading this company. The decisions make me believe they are doing poor decisions for this company. The tattoo being one of them. But here's another one, 404 Link. It's been days. I can't get any further information about this, their assets under management. I can't really dive into this. For a publicly traded company, that's absurd. I have zero faith in this company. I had zero faith before, but going forward, zero faith. So this is what I had to say, what I have to say about Galaxy Digital. If you are an investor, be careful. It's another company that they might be pulling the wool over our eyes, trying to hide something. I do not know. The decisions, they make you wonder what's going on. Why would you put your hard-earned money in a company like this? If you do have it, consider pulling it out. I know you're underwater, but you're better off putting it somewhere else. Look what happened to Voyager Digital. We'll be talking about them next. All right, the last story I have is about Voyager Digital and wrecked, absolutely wrecked. That's the only way I could describe this. So they, of course, I talked about them filing for Chapter 11 in the state of New York shortly thereafter. So this happened late last week. They have voluntarily delisted their shares from the TSX. What an absolute joke. This is turning out to be a clown show. I hope you're not an investor in them, because if you are, you've just been rug pulled as a result. So there's going to be, as it's going through to Chapter 11, we don't know what's going to be the end result. But from what I understand, they're working to try to get this restructured. Will there be compensation given to people that previously owned shares? Probably, but I can't say for certain. This is something they're working on right now. And as for users that previously had stuff on their platform, will they be somehow compensated again? This is all have to be dealt with in a whole bankruptcy filing that they're going to be emerging with a new company. So it's a very, very troubling time if you are either a Voyager user or a Voyager investor. I feel sorry for you if you are both. Or either or, I'd be also sorry for you, because your money, unfortunately, is being cut in a fraction of what it used to be, and perhaps in totality might be lost. There we go. Do not deal with these companies that are very much involved in the DeFi staking, all that garbage stuff, because in the end, when there's a rug pull, there's no foundation to be that they could land on. Bitcoin, you know what you're dealing with. There's the underlying asset is there. You can't get rugged in that. And then the price could go down, yes, but you still own the underlying asset. You can't lose it as long as you have your keys. Can you say the same when you put stuff on a platform like Voyager? No. When you're putting on there and getting yield, and there is very little value with the token that you're getting yield from, be very careful. It's very, very dangerous to do so. The 20% or so interest, the APY that you're getting from them, might appear to be lucrative. But look what you get in the end. You get Chapter 11. So Voyager, I feel bad for anybody that has invested in them or that have any of their money on their platform, because you might get a fraction, if anything, moving forward. Feel bad. There's going to be more development moving forward. I'm sure we'll be talking about Voyager quite a bit in the next little while. But unfortunately, right now, it's been delisted from the TSX. So that's what you call a first-class rug pulling. All right, I hope you all enjoyed this episode. It was rather brief, but still, nonetheless, I think it was rather informative, and I hope you found it to be as well. I just want to make sure you are aware that none of the information we talk about is financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor. Joey's not a financial advisor. None of the guests that come on our show are financial advisors. We don't shill financial advice. Make sure if you're going to do anything that is related to what we're talking about, make sure you do your own research. It only makes sense. Don't listen to us, because we are just a couple of schmoes, and in front of a wall for me, and in sitting in his room for talking about Joey. But either way, just be very careful when you're putting your money into anything we're talking about. It only makes sense to do your own research before you do anything like that. So with that being said, we'll probably be chatting again tomorrow. So take care. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another show where we talk about Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities. Today is July the 12th, 2022, and this episode is going to be pretty informative. We're going to be talking about what's going on in the state of Texas with regards to Bitcoin mining. So you want to stay tuned for that, because there's going to be some really interesting information I'm going to be passing on to you. And before we go any further, let's just transition over to who is sponsoring our show. And for our first sponsor, ShakePay. Of course, we talk about them. It's the best place to buy and never sell your Bitcoin. Open up an account with our referral code below. Fund your account with $100 and use that $100 to buy $100 of Bitcoin or the competing token they have on their exchange, and $30 will be added to your ShakePay account. Not only that, by opening an account with our referral code, it gives you the ability to shake your phone once a day. So you could open up your app, your ShakePay app, shake your phone, you're good to go. You're getting a little bit of Satoshis every day. Do this for 365 consecutive days and the rewards will be 1,000 Satoshis. So it makes sense to shake your phone and the ShakePay app once a day because you're good to go and get a little bit of Bitcoin. And they also have the ShakePay Visa card, where if you use your ShakePay Visa card to buy anything, groceries, gas, whatever it is, the first $5,000 you spend, you're going to be comped 2%. So you spend $100 to buy something, well, 2% of that purchase is going to be returned back to you in Bitcoin. And once you exhaust that $5,000 threshold, it gets down to 1%. So every time you use the ShakePay Visa card will be 1% after that, but still not too shabby. You're getting free Bitcoin simply by using the ShakePay Visa card to pay for your purchases. And they also have the ShakePaid promotion, so the whole purchase could be returned back to you in Bitcoin depending on how lucky you are. Some people have even got ShakePaid twice in a day. And the last thing they have is a Shake Squad. So join up with up to four people. Anytime anybody in your Shake Squad uses the ShakePay Visa card, 42 Satoshis will be added to everybody's account. And that's why it makes sense to find four people that are actively using their ShakePay Visa card. We like ShakePay, we use it, and we recommend you use it as well. And the second sponsor we have is Ledin. And you could use the Bitcoin that you bought from ShakePay to put on a Ledin platform and earn some interest. Open an account using our referral code below and fund your account with 150,000 Satoshis or 75 USDC. Leave it on your platform for 15 consecutive days and 10 USDC is going to be added to your account. Also, they have the ability to borrow against your Bitcoin. If you have a large amount of Bitcoin you want to borrow against it, you don't want to sell it, Ledin is there to help you out with a 50% loan to value. Also, if you think the price of Bitcoin is going up, it's right now it's relatively low, so it should be going up. That's what I'm thinking. Could be wrong, not financial advice, but that's my thinking. Use the B2X. So you put your Bitcoin on their platform, use the B2X to double up your Bitcoin stash. And once the price of Bitcoin has reached a price that you're happy, you pull out, you're good to go, and now you have more Bitcoin than you first started. So it makes sense to time the market with the B2X option that is provided to you by Ledin. And the last thing they have is the Bitcoin-backed mortgage, and that's an industry first. So if you have a lot of Bitcoin, you want to buy a home, you're good to go with Ledin. They'll help you out. But check their website because their Bitcoin-backed mortgages are not available in every jurisdiction. Also, check their website for their borrowing rates and their savings rates because these change on a month-to-month basis. Okay, now with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. And ho-hum, it was another red day on the markets. Everything seems to be bleeding today. So we'll take a look to see who are the big winners and losers. And not too many winners. We have Cypher Metaverse, which is not really all that much of a Bitcoin miner these days, 14.29% up on the day. And we also have Canaan, the Bitcoin ASIC mining company, up almost 1%. DigiHost and Coinbase up also almost 1% each. So Coinbase, our whipping boy, is on the green for the day. So in terms of losses, quite a few. Liquid FinTech was the biggest loser today, 17.39% down. Cathedra Bitcoin, 14.29% down. And there's some interesting news. We'll be talking about them in a little bit, so stay tuned for that. There may be some cracks in the foundation, but we'll talk about it momentarily. Luxfolio down 11.54%. And that's it for the double digit losses. I mean, just a lot of single digit losses here. It's pretty red. It's, you know, pretty deep at these losses here. But I don't know. Things are getting real dicey out there, not only in the Bitcoin mining field. We'll be talking about that when I talk about Cathedral Bitcoin. And also, we have some uncertainty going on in the state of Texas. And that's something else I'll be talking about momentarily. And lastly, we also have the rates increases that are going to be coming up, interest rate increases coming up relatively soon, and the CPI print coming out tomorrow. So there's a lot of things going on. There's going to be a lot of bad news, and this is going to impact the markets and also the price of Bitcoin for the next little while. So keep that in mind. It's not going to be all smooth sailing until, I don't know, it's going to be some time. So yeah, so be careful. If you have some dry powder sitting on the side, it might be a good time to deploy and buy the dip. If you have been bleeding red for a long time, it's just, you know, join a club. A lot of people are in the same boat as you are. And leading things off is a really interesting story that is coming out of the state of Texas. This is going to impact Bitcoin mining companies that plug in their ASICs into the grid and are drawing power from the grid. And I'm talking about companies like Core Scientific, Argo, and Riot. So what I'm dealing with here, or what we're dealing with here, is a story that came out from Bloomberg. And it's talking about Texas is going through a massive heat wave. And this heat wave is causing great stress to the grid. So the authorities over there have asked or told the Bitcoin miners over there to turn off their ASICs so they are not drawing from the grid. And this is consuming over 1% of the total grid capacity, and that is going to be redirected back to the grid, and it's not going to be used by Bitcoin miners. What this means is that during this particular period of time, we're going to have a brief period of time that Bitcoin miners are not, well, these particular Bitcoin mining companies, they're not going to be able to draw full capacity on their total network. Core Scientific has made an announcement saying that their operations in Texas accounts for approximately 15% of their overall hash rate. So not an insignificant amount, but still it's not going to be the total, like the all 100%. They're spread out in a variety of states. So that is good talking about Core Scientific. Also to consider is that just this afternoon, Core Scientific also announced that they have been told that they could start plugging stuff back into the grid. It looks like the heat wave requirement to divert all power towards the grid seems to have somewhat passed, and ASIC miners are now coming back on the system. So if you look at the hash rate, you may notice that there was a brief dip today, being July the 12th. And this is a result of what is happening in Texas. All those Bitcoin miners that are plugged into the grid, temporarily they were taken offline, but they are now going to be slowly re-energized. So companies like Argo and Riot, they're going to be more impacted than Core Scientific will. So what happens at the end of this month, end of July, when they report on their monthly Bitcoin that they mine for this month, you're going to see it will be a slight dip, considering there's going to be one day at least that they're not going to be mining at 100%. And should there be more of these challenges moving forward, there will be a lot more hot days that are experienced in the state of Texas. There's going to be more times where you're going to have these operations scaled back, and there's going to be less opportunity to mine Bitcoin in the state of Texas during these periods of times. So there's going to be a challenge moving forward with all Bitcoin miners that are plugged in a grid in the state of Texas. This is just going to be part of the nature of the business of dealing with the environment over there. It is what it is. It's nothing that is too concerning, but it's something that you should note, especially if you are looking to have 100% Bitcoin mined from that particular company at the end of the month. Should there be a prolonged heat wave, it's going to drastically impact companies like Core, well, maybe less so Core, but Argo and Riot will have a very large drawdown in the amount of Bitcoin that they mine. So that this is a very interesting story. This will come up more often moving forward. We're just in the month of July. I suspect we're going to have, the beginning of July, in fact, we're mid. I suspect we're going to have more of these stories moving on as we progress throughout the summer months. So keep your eyes open for this. This is something that is going to happen more so moving forward. For better or for worse, this is something we're going to have to deal with if we're looking to invest in Bitcoin miners in the state of Texas that plug into the grid. And let's talk about our favorite whipping boy, Coinbase. And keep in mind, we just experienced a rug pull that is named Voyager Digital. And Galaxy Digital can't provide us any information with regards to their assets under management. We also have BlockFi looking like they may topple and be bought out by SPF. So there's a lot of different exchanges out there that are suffering heavily because there was a lot of liquidations moving on. I'm not saying that the same is applying to Coinbase, but still, there's some smoke here. And could there be some fire? Let's take a look. So this is being reported from CryptoPolitan.com. And it's mentioned in this article that Coinbase users are unable to withdraw to bank accounts. And some users have been waiting for as much as 3 weeks to get their funds withdrawn. Does this sound like something that is, there's some problems here? They do note it does take 1 to 5 business days and to get anything withdrawn from their platform. And Coinbase says they are currently investigating this, but still, it leads me to believe that there's something going on with Coinbase. And I actually have a little bit more substance here that may show there could be some problems with Coinbase. Now, there's a tweet that just went out, and it talked about how 42% of Coinbase assets are Bitcoin. Okay. 24% of their firm's assets is Ethereum. Only 3% makes up fiat currency, and 31% is other cryptocurrencies. But 3% is fiat currency. So if there is a big drawdown and people want to start taking out a lot of their capital, a lot of their money from Coinbase, do they have the liquidity available to them to pay out customers when only 3% of everything they have is in cash? So it makes me wonder, do they have the liquidity here available to them to pay out users that want to cash out or withdraw from Coinbase? That, coupled with that story from CryptoPolitan.com, showing that some users are having some problems with getting their money out, getting withdrawals out from Coinbase. Some real questions here that need to be answered. That this is why they are my whipping boy, and they will continually to be my whipping boy. So something that is very concerning, there is smoke here. Is there fire? I do not know, but we will have to investigate this further. Be very careful if you are a Coinbase investor, and be very careful if you want to be a Coinbase investor. But should something happen to Coinbase that they will have to go down the road to declare bankruptcy, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm just hypothesizing here, should it happen, the price of Bitcoin is going to absolutely tank, because this is one of the bigger exchanges out there. When it was listed just a little bit over a year ago, it was listed to much fanfare, to publicly listed, I mean. So I'm not saying I want this to fail. I hope they could turn it around. I hope they focus more on Bitcoin, and I hope they become less altcoin dependent. But these are all just wishes on my part. I'm just simply somebody looking at it from the outside, looking in. But I can see there's cracks in the foundation. So be very careful. Coinbase, there could be something coming up in a not too distant future. Just be very careful. That's all I got to say. Cathedra Bitcoin provided us with an update, a very interesting update that gives us a snapshot what is going on behind the scenes at these publicly traded Bitcoin miners at a time when the price of Bitcoin has currently been depressed. It's now sitting at the range $19,000 to $21,000 per Bitcoin. And of course, this is impacting a lot of these publicly traded Bitcoin miners tremendously. And Cathedra Bitcoin is no exception. And I'm going to talk about what happened just yesterday. This was released just last night. And They received 375 machines. These are S19J Pros, and they received them. They installed them in April and May. They're installed at their facilities, both in Tennessee and Kentucky, and it increased their hash rate by 38 petahash per second. Not too bad. They also have 372 that they have on the way coming to North America, but it's stuck because and it's delayed in transit. So these are supply chain issues, and they're going to ultimately go to the Kentucky mine, and that's going to increase the petahash with that one by 37 petahash per second. Not too bad. Here's where it gets very, very interesting, though. They said they have temporarily paused all major capital expenditures in an effort to conserve cash until the market outlook improves. They also said they are going to forego payment on its June batch of S19 Pros and instead take delivery of a reduced allocation of 522 machines instead of the 750 that they originally contemplated. So they are going to be getting less ASIC machines than they originally wanted. And they're going to be taking delivery of these 522 machines between the months of July, August, and September. And they're going to then be attached to their network and increase their overall hash rate. And that's going to be increasing their hash rate by 52 petahash per second. Even more interesting news, they also sold off 600 Bitmain Antminer S19 XP machines. And they were scheduled to be delivered in 6 equal tranches from July to December 2022, but instead they sold all these off, and they sold it for proceeds of about $4.1 million US. And they're going to be using this to reduce the $25 million face value of the company's outstanding debt. So there's going to be some a dry down on the debt that they currently have right now, and very interesting stuff. Even more interesting stuff, they decommissioned approximately 400 machines from their North Dakota mine, and these were previously purchased under previous management in 2021, and they're going to be moving this to their facility in New Hampshire, and this is going to increase the New Hampshire mine to 115 petahash per second. I wonder now, they don't mention anything here, I wonder if they are still going to be getting to the, I think it was 750 petahash per second was their goal to get by the end of 2022. Given that they are not accepting full delivery of what they initially ordered, I can't see that they're going to get to that point. And if they're kind of putting the kibosh to major purchases, well, they're going to probably be treading water for the next little while. Their hash rate is going to be just going up based on the order that they have outstanding of the 522. I think that was the number of miners that are going to be coming in. But once that's done, there's going to be no other orders that they have started. And even if they do initiate an order, say the end of summer of this year, it takes months for ASICs to come into North America. There's the lead time. It's not instant. It's not like you're ordering something from Amazon and it gets same day delivery. It takes time to have an order placed and then ultimately delivered. So what's going on with Cathedra? Very interesting stuff. This is probably going to be played out with other Bitcoin miners out there. So this is maybe food for thought for people that are thinking about dumping more money in Bitcoin miners at this particular moment. You may want to wait. You may want to wait for the dust to settle and see who's left standing and on what ground they're standing on. Is it shaky ground? Is it solid ground? There's going to be a lot of movement. I will say there may be some capitulation in a not too distant future. I know SBF has said that he has $2 billion at his disposal, and he did say he wanted to purchase and consolidate some exchanges, but he also hinted at buying some Bitcoin miners. It's a good time to buy some Bitcoin miners because the price is, it's been depressed with the price of Bitcoin going down. So that's just interesting stuff. This is food for thought. It's going to be a very troubling time, I suspect, for the next little while for companies that are carrying lots of debt, because they're going to have to figure out a way to maintain that debt or even try to pay it down. Just interesting times. That's all I have to say. And the last story I have is about Greenidge, and it's a June 2022 update. And if you're expecting a lot of information, unfortunately, it's pretty brief and to the point. So let's just get at it. They said that they mined 230 Bitcoin for the month of June, and the up to June 30th, 2022, so the whole year up until that particular date, they mined 1,183 Bitcoin. So those two numbers, 230 Bitcoin for June and the 1,183 Bitcoin up until June 30th, they're respectable numbers, nothing too bad there. And what also is respectable is 2.5 exahash per second. They note that they have 24% of their hash rate coming out of their South Carolina location, and they have another 200 miners that are currently in transit. I wish they gave a little bit more information on this notice here. There's not much. We don't know when these miners are going to be received. We don't know when they're going to be installed. We don't know what is going to be the new hash rate once they are installed. We don't know if they sold off any Bitcoin that they mined. We don't know how much Bitcoin they have on the reserves. We don't know what's going on if they're paying off any outstanding debt. We know very little aside from just how much Bitcoin they mined for the month of June. So this is a very brief update. I wish they provided us with more information. Unfortunately, this is all we have. And for better or for worse, this is it. And perhaps next month, we should probably start tweeting out to them. Give us more information, Greenidge. Give us more information. Check out Bitfarms, for instance, their monthly update. It's very concise. This one, in comparison, it's pretty bad in terms of how much information is provided. But what's the context of this? It's not too shabby. So I can't really crap too much on Greenidge. I just wish they gave us more information than this. And that's it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Rather informative, a few good pieces here. And just want to ensure that you are aware that I'm not a financial advisor. Joey's not a financial advisor. None of the people that come on our show are financial advisors. We're not talking about financial advice. So make sure you do your own research. And last, please like, subscribe, and share. We got to grow this channel as much as possible. With your help, we could do that. So with that, we will probably be chatting tomorrow. So take care. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another episode where we talk about Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities. Today is July 13th, 2022. Pretty good episode, rather short, but still, there's going to be something I'm going to be talking about to do with a penny stock Bitcoin miner that made an impressive move to get more capital into their company. So there's an infusion of capital coming in with this very impressive move, and I'll be talking about. But before we go any further, just want to ask if you could please like, subscribe, and share. That would help us grow this channel. And with that being said, let's move on to our sponsors. And our first sponsor is ShakePay, the best place to buy and never sell your Bitcoin. Open up an account with our referral code below. Fund your account with $100. Buy $100 worth of Bitcoin or the competing token that they have on their platform, which I will not be naming. And they're going to add $30 to your ShakePay account. Not only that, if you open up an account with our referral code, you could then shake your phone once per day and be given Satoshi's partial Bitcoin that will be added to your ShakePay account. Do this for 365 consecutive days, and the amount of Bitcoin goes up to 1,000 Satoshis per day. Not many of these faucets exist. You might as well take advantage. Open up your phone, open up the ShakePay app, and shake that bugger. Only the ShakePay app, don't shake anything else. Also, they have the ShakePay Visa card, and you load up your ShakePay app with Canadian dollars and use that to buy your everyday purchases like gasoline, groceries, whatever the heck you have to buy. And the first $5,000 which you spend with the ShakePay Visa card, 2% will be returned back to you in Bitcoin. And after you exhaust that first $5,000, everything after that will be 1% returned back to you in Bitcoin. Not too shabby. It's another way to add onto your Bitcoin stack. The last thing they do have is the Shake Squad. Team up with up to four people. Anybody in your Shake Squad that uses the ShakePay Visa card, everybody will be rewarded with 42 Satoshis. Only makes sense to find people that use the ShakePay Visa card and use it as well. So you could then help out your team members, your squad members. So we like ShakePay. We recommend ShakePay. And I buy my Bitcoin from ShakePay. So you should too. Check them out. And what are you going to do with the Bitcoin that you bought from ShakePay? Why not put it on the Ledin platform and earn some interest? Open up an account with our referral code below. Put 150,000 Satoshis or 75 USDC on their platform. Keep it on there for 15 consecutive days and they're going to reward you with 10 USDC. Not only that, if you have a large stack of Bitcoin, got some bills to pay, and having trouble paying them, well, you could borrow against your Bitcoin. Ledin is there to help you out with a 50% loan to value. Furthermore, they have the B2X option. So if you think the price of Bitcoin is going up, and I always do, I'm the eternal Bitcoin bull, you might as well use the B2X option where you could double up your Bitcoin stack. And when the price of Bitcoin goes up high enough, you just pull out and you're good to go. You just increased your Bitcoin by using the B2X option and timing the market correctly. Not only that, they do also have the Bitcoin-backed mortgages and industry first, so you could use your Bitcoin to help buy a home. And check their website for the jurisdictions where the Bitcoin-backed mortgages are being offered. It's not available in every jurisdiction. Also check to see their website for the lending rates and the saving rates, because they change on a month-to-month basis. All right, so with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. And it's a mixed bag today in winners and losers, a little bit more winners than there are losers. But leading things off, we had Aquarius AI, 23.08% up on a day. Wow, they're usually at the very top or the very bottom these days. It's another Mawson, except multiplied. iMining up 14.29% on a day. And the remaining companies that were up on a day, it's somewhere between 0 and slightly over 5%, so nothing really noteworthy. And we've had a swath of them between 0 and 7% down on the day, but four of them in particular were double digits, one being Cypher Metaverse, 25% down on a day. And that's pretty bad. And we have Block Mint, another one that's not into Bitcoin mining in totality, down 20%. Wow, this one hurts. Cathedra Bitcoin down 13.33% on a day. And that was a result of the news yesterday. If you don't know exactly what's going on, I talked about it more in depth in my video yesterday. So check it out if you want to know what's going on with Cathedra Bitcoin and how this might be par for the course with Bitcoin mining companies going forward. And CryptoStar down 11% on a day. So yeah, there we go. Nothing really crazy here. Kind of disappointed in Cathedra Bitcoin. Hope they turn it around. But again, like I talked about yesterday, this is just the sign of the times. It's a tough time to be a Bitcoin mining company these days. And it's, well, we got Penny Stock to talk about that is doing what they can during these bearish times. Let's talk about them now. All right, so leading things off, we have a story from Sato Technologies Corp. And this is the company formerly known as Canada Computational Unlimited. So I like the name change. The old name I didn't like all too much. So I prefer this new name. It's strictly cosmetic, but still I like it. It's a step in the right direction. What was announced today? Well, they said that they're going to be adding some new Bitcoin mining rigs to their Center One facility in Quebec. And this is going to be Foundry Digital is going to be the ones that are going to be adding their lot of ASIC miners to Sato's existing infrastructure over there. And it's going to be 4,300 new miners that are going to be hosted at the Sato facility. 1,500 have already been hosted since May 2022, and an additional 2,800 are going to be coming in the next few weeks. What I like about this, it increases their annualized hosting revenue of around $9.5 million USD. I like this. It's giving Sato some flexibility here. Even though the price of Bitcoin is rather low, they are still able to parlay their cheap energy that they're able to get in the province of Quebec, and they're attracting miners. I would rather a company be in this situation where they're hosting versus having their ASICs being hosted somewhere else. When they're hosting, they control everything. They can control the price, how much they're charging, and if there ever is theoretically a rug pull, it's not going to impact them per se. It's going to impact the customers. I'm not saying there's going to be a rug pull, but if there may be, you'd rather be the one pulling the rug. I can't believe I'm actually saying that, but be the one being rug pulled on. With all that being said, I like this move by Sato. It gives them added revenue. It gives them more flexibility moving forward at a time when it's very difficult to raise capital as a Bitcoin miner, and they're doing that right now, simply parlaying the cheap energy that they have access to in the province of Quebec. Really like this move. I can't wait to see them build on their infrastructure and add more miners on their network rather than host it. But in the meantime, this is a good way for them to attain extra capital and build their war chest at a time so they could strike when the time is right. So really good information here. Also, we did an interview with their CEO. I'm going to post a link hopefully above and as well below. So if you want to check out that interview and learn a little bit more about Sato Technologies Corp., check out that interview. It was dynamite. Okay, there's a story about Core Scientific I just want to touch briefly on. And yesterday, I talked about Core Scientific being one of the Bitcoin miners that were impacted by the heat wave that took place in the state of Texas. And the state asked that all miners disconnect their ASICs from the grid in order to ensure that power is diverted to people that need it to cool their homes and their businesses, and the energy is not being used by Bitcoin miners. So Core Scientific was one of the Bitcoin miners that had to disconnect their equipment temporarily. And they noted that the Texas facilities make up around 15% of their overall hash rate. Well, what happened, they just reported not too long ago that they mined about 36.4 Bitcoin in the past 24 hours. What that shows me is that when they unplugged their ASICs and eventually they plugged them back in, they're back to being fully operational in the state of Texas, it didn't impact them all that much, just a slight amount, because typically they would mine on the low end around 38, 39-ish Bitcoin per day, and on a top end 41, 42, somewhere around there. That's generally their range, from 38 to around 42 is typical what I see Core Scientific mine these days on a given day in 24 hours. And so yesterday they announced they mined 36.4. So a little bit of a drop down, but not that much. Come the end of the month, as long as there's no more heat waves that force Core Scientific and the other two miners to unplug their equipment, Core Scientific should have a pretty ho-hum month where they're going to show that they mined a little bit over 1,000 Bitcoin for the month. So if you think that what happened yesterday, just that event is going to impact or has impacted Core Scientific, it has, but just in a small amount. But then again, we are still in the middle of summer. It's still middle of July. Anything may happen in terms of heat waves that are going to be just taking place and taking a foothold in the state of Texas. So should that happen going forward, just note that Core Scientific is going to be one of the companies that are going to be impacted. But the good news is only 15% of their hash rate comes out of that state. So that's the good, that's the bad, and that's what it is. So that's what I got to report on Core Scientific. It's not going to be too bad at the end of the month as long as things stay the way they are. All right, for the last story, we'll be talking about Bit Digital. I've been pretty vocal and critical about them, and I'm going to probably continue with that stance, especially after reading this report. And they announced their June 2022 operational update, and they say that they mined for the month of June 67.6 Bitcoin and 0.0 ETH. Keep that ETH number in mind, 0.0 for the month of June. And they say they hold 860.7 Bitcoin, 313.6 ETH. And they say that has a fair market value as of June 30th of 17 million for the Bitcoin and 300,000 for the ETH. So it's not, you know, it's a number, not the highest, but it's way more Bitcoin than I have on my balance sheet, let me tell you. And they say they own 38,135 Bitcoin miners. And get this, 731 Ethereum miners as of June 30th. Now, they mine zero Ethereum for the month of June. So this is proof that they don't have a lot of their miners in their hands. And they're going to be talking about that in the latter part of this article. And they say that with all their miners, they're adding it all together, their total hash rate would be 2.7 exahash per second and 0.3 terahash per second for the ETH. Can't speak much on the ETH side of things, but 2.7 exahash per second would be a very respectable amount should they achieve that. But they are not there. Obviously, they're mining at a much lower clip. In fact, as of the end of June, they were mining at 0.76 exahash per second. That is a far cry from the 2.7 that they have in total for all their miners. They say only 23% of their fleet is currently hashing away, doing their thing. That is the number, the actual number is 8,990 Bitcoin miners. So it's a far cry from the total amount of Bitcoin miners they have somewhere. It's apparently it's in transit from China or something, so it's not yet in their possession and plugged in doing their thing. But they did do one good thing this month. There was a hash rate swap agreement that took place between them and Riot, where they received an aggregate of 0.625 exahash per second, and they gave up only 500 exahash per second. So they actually gained a little bit more power on their network in terms of hashing out Bitcoin. In fact, as after that agreement, their hash rates now stands at 1.06 exahash per second. Given how much Bitcoin they mine, less than 70 in a month, given the fact that most of their miners are not plugged in, is it justified that their market cap is midpoint? Like, if you look at all the other Bitcoin miners, they're kind of in a mid-range. Is that fair? I think that's, in my opinion, somewhat overvalued. I don't think that they do have a lot of ability right now. I think the market cap is representing how much they can be mining should all the miners come in. But we've seen what's going on with the supply chain issues, that it's causing some real problems with getting stuff delivered. This is a lot of miners that are supposed to be coming in. In the meantime, they have bills to pay, and it's going to be harder for them to pay those bills if they're only mining less than 70 Bitcoin per month and zero ETH per month. So I got some real questions with Bit Digital. I have to do a little bit more deep dive into them, but I'm wondering if they're going to run out of capital sometime in the not too distant future before these miners come in and they plug them in on their network. So I'm just looking at them and looking at their market cap. It doesn't seem to jive with other Bitcoin miners out there. I think that you probably get better value out of other Bitcoin miners. This one is, I think it's kind of a home run, this one. Like, are you just really going for home run here? You're expecting or hoping that they get the miners, they plug them in, and their hash rate jumps substantially. But in the meantime, they're just hashing away at a much reduced clip. Even after this hash rate agreement trade with Riot, they're just slightly over 1 exahash per second, which is still pretty decent in the grand scheme of things. But mid-range, in terms of market cap, I question that. So you should question it too. I'd love to know your comments about that. All right, so that's it. A fairly brief episode today, so I hope you enjoyed it. Please like, subscribe, and share, of course. And as always, I'm not a financial advisor. Joey's not a financial advisor. None of the people that come on the show are financial advisors. Do your own research. Do your own due diligence. It only makes sense. If you're going to listen to us, you're only going to get wrecked. And with that, we'll be talking again probably tomorrow. So take care. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another show where we talk about Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin related equities. Today's a beautiful July 14th. I hope you're all enjoying the weather. And in this episode, we'll be talking about one miner in particular that deployed capital. They've been waiting for the right time to pounce, and they did so today. So it's some really cool news. Can't wait to share it with you. But before we go any further, we're going to have to ask you just one thing. Please like, subscribe, and share. That's going to help us with growing the channel. And let's go on to the formalities and talk about our sponsors. And our first sponsor is, there it is, ShakePay, the best place to buy and, of course, never sell your Bitcoin. Open up an account with our referral code below, fund your account with $100, and use that to buy $100 of Bitcoin or the competing altcoin that they have, and $30 is going to be added to your account. Not too shabby. Also, you could shake your phone once a day, so you could open up your phone, open up the ShakePay app, shake that bugger, talking about the phone, and do this for 365 consecutive days, and you'll be rewarded with up to 1,000 sats per day. So it makes sense once a day to open up your phone and the ShakePay app and shake that bugger. I'm talking about the phone. And they also have the ShakePay Visa card. Use that for your daily purchases, for gas, groceries, whatever the heck you gotta buy. And every time you use it, the first 5,000 that you purchase is going to be 2% rewarded back to you in Bitcoin. And beyond that, 1% of every purchase will be returned back to you in Bitcoin. Again, not too shabby. And the last thing they have is the Shake Squad. Team up with up to 4 people. Anytime anybody in your squad uses the ShakePay Visa card, 42 sats are going to be rewarded to everybody in your squad. So it makes sense to find people that are actively using their ShakePay Visa card, because everybody's going to get a whole bunch of 42 sats every time the card is used. So check them out. We enjoy ShakePay. We recommend it. And in fact, I buy my Bitcoin through ShakePay. So check them out with our referral code below. And what are you going to do with all that Bitcoin you bought from ShakePay? Well, why not put it on the Ledin platform and earn some interest? Open up an account with our referral code below. Dump 150,000 Satoshis or 75 USDC on their platform. Keep it on there for 15 calendar days and 10 USDC will be rewarded to you. And if you need money in a pinch and you don't want to sell your large stack of Bitcoin, Ledin is there to help you out. They use a 50% loan to value, so they'll be able to give you some cash and you're good to go to repair your car, expand in your house, whatever the heck you need. So it's a good place to get some money that you could borrow against your Bitcoin. You don't have to sell it. Also, if you think the price of Bitcoin is going up, look at it. It slowly is. The B2X option is a good thing to do because you could double up your Bitcoin stack. And once the price of Bitcoin gets to a high enough price that you're happy with it, you pull out, always pull out, don't leave it in. And you just increased your Bitcoin stack simply by using the B2X option and timing the market. And the last thing they have is the Bitcoin-backed mortgages. Industry first, check out their website for where the Bitcoin-backed mortgages are located or being offered, because it's not available in every jurisdiction, but also check their website for the borrowing rates and the saving rates as these change on a month-to-month basis. All right, so with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing and let's take a look to see who are the big winners and losers for today. And it's pretty good day all around. I think there's more winners than there are losers. Let's take a peek what we got, what we're working with here. And Cypher Metaverse, 16.67, that percent up on a day. That name Cypher Metaverse makes me laugh. But yeah, it got wrecked, I believe, yesterday, but today it made a comeback at 16.67%. And that's basically it in terms of double-digit gains. A lot of single-digit gains here, as you could tell. And it's just pretty full in terms of single-digit gains. But there were a few that were on the negative side. And CryptoWorks, 25% down. That's quite a loss. But again, it's a thinly traded stock, so we don't know what's going on. There could be lots of manipulation that's ongoing here. But other than that, just a handful of companies that are on the losing end. Good to see that I don't see Cathedra Bitcoin on a losing end. Where did Cathedra end up, just considering what's happened in the past few days? Oh, up 7.69%, not too bad. Let's check out Coinbase too. That's another one, the show whipping boy. Oh, almost flat, 0.6% on a day. So, and there you go. It's been a pretty good day all around. Nothing terribly great, but nothing terribly bad. I think there's, as I've shown, there's more people, more companies on the green side than there are on the red. So we'll take it. The price of Bitcoin did go up a little bit, so let's take that for what it is. But yeah, there you go. So that's the market wrap. Let's take a look at a couple of stories that are pretty interesting. All right, so the first story I have is about Hive. And in fact, we just talked to their CEO yesterday. Frank Holmes was on our show, and we had a very good discussion with him about what's going on with Hive and the truthful FUD surrounding proof of stake and everything. I recommend listening to that interview or watching it. It's pretty good. And I'm going to be posting the link, hopefully right here where I'm pointing, and also below for people that can't see the link. But nonetheless, check it out. It's a really cool interview. And the news that they relayed today was that they obviously have delayed their annual filings, and this is the second time they've done it in consecutive years. And it's no smoke here, there's no fire. The last time they did it, they just needed more time to complete their audit. And it looks like the same thing this time around. Because last time when they took a little bit extra time to complete their audit, there was really nothing there that was concerning. So I'm expecting the same thing this time around. They mentioned that they intend to complete their annual reporting filings on or before Monday, July 18th. That was the anticipated date. They have it all completed, and they're not anticipating any further delays. So if you're looking forward to seeing what this annual report is all about, it should be coming out in the next few days, which is very cool. Maybe there's a pump in the stock price as a result of this annual report, but we'll see what happens. So far, there's no real red flags with Hive. They're just doing their thing. And in fact, they have plans, and we heard about what their plans are. They're going to be pivoting to high performance computing should ETH move to a proof of stake. And obviously that's going to impact their ETH mining game. So I like that they're forward thinking enough. And in the meantime, they're just trying to do what they can to mine as much Bitcoin as well as their ETH. And they're selling their ETH, which is really cool. They're trying to maintain their Bitcoin stack, but trying to sell their ETH to keep the lights on, so to speak, for their business. So that's all I have to say about Hive. Really cool stuff. Definitely check out that interview with Frank Holmes. It was a pretty good one. And the last story I have is about CleanSpark. Really cool story. In June, they deployed capital to pick up a bunch of S19s on the cheap. And they did it at a time when the price of Bitcoin has been drawn down. And it's not as lucrative to mine Bitcoin. So the ASIC miners are not selling for the same price they were several months ago. So that things are now, it's a fire sale for a lot of these ASICs. Well, what did they do? They did it again. And just today was announced they picked up a whole bunch more mining equipment. So let's take a look what they have just announced. Really cool stuff. So they said they cherry picked some miners to add to their hash rate, to their mining pools. And it was 1,061 miners in total. And in this particular case, they picked up the WhatsMiner M30S machines. And this in total, this 1,061 adds 93 petahash to their existing hash rate of 2.8 exahash per second. I like these moves, which is cool. So we could take a look to see what's the output. It's 86 terahash per second for the WhatsMiner 30S's. So they're not as powerful in terms of the hash rate as the S19s, but still they're very good machines. And this is a great move that they're able to pick it up on the cheap that they claim. I'd like to know exactly how much they purchased in terms of how much it cost them to purchase these WhatsMiners M30S's, but the fact that they're saying they picked it up on the cheap, this is awesome news. This is the kind of stuff you want to see and hear. So they've been waiting on the sidelines, waiting for the right time to deploy their capital, and they found today is the right time to do it, and they've done it again. They did it last month, they did it again this month, and should they have any more money, they're probably going to do it again next month as well. Every time they find a good deal, they're going to snap it up and add ASICs to your network on the cheap. I like stories like this. CleanSpark is building out their network without spending the same capital that would have been spent many, many months ago. Very cool stuff. I like this strategy that they're deploying here. So yeah, that's all I have to say about CleanSpark. It's a really cool story. It's not a game changer by any stretch, but it certainly makes them much more lucrative. And they just added a whole bunch of mining equipment on the cheap. How could anyone hate this? I like this. Great on CleanSpark. And that's it. I hope you enjoyed this rather brief episode. And before we sign off, just want to ask that you please like, subscribe, and share. But also, make sure that you are aware that I'm not a financial advisor. Joey's not a financial advisor. And none of the guests that appeared on our show make any bones that we're financial advisors or they're financial advisors. We don't speak financial advice. We don't give that out. So make sure you do your own research, your own due diligence. It only makes sense, or else you're only going to get wrecked if you follow what we're talking about. And with that, we'll probably be talking again tomorrow. So take care.